them right now. God, may this word just radiate in their inner man today, Lord God. May it be a buzz on the inside, God, that they cannot let go of. Lord, you know what your people need today. And so, God, we set ourselves in agreement in this body, Lord God, that we shall see your hand move in greater ways on today, God. We shall see your word go forth, God, with greater power and anointing, Lord, that even, God, you're doing great things. You're going to do greater things. So, Father, we make room for you to move right now, God. We make room for you to move in your word and by your word. Father, you said that man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceedeth out of your mouth. And so, God, it is your word coming through my mouth today, Lord God, that, Lord, we will receive and we shall eat and we shall be satisfied. And so right now we position ourselves in the spirit to hear from you. We position ourselves right now in the realm of your anointing, God, to go to a higher place, God. And so, Lord, we open ourselves up now in Jesus' name. May every mind be open and receptive to you. And Father, we give you glory, honor, and thanks in Jesus' name. Someone shout amen.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 14. If you're there, we go there now. The Bible says, according to Paul, he says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Verse number 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse number 16, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Last verse, number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto for all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Someone tell me today, just say to me, I'm on my battlefield. Come on, say it again. I'm on my battlefield. Now, I want you to know something today, that every day you get up, you step onto your battlefield. I'm going to say it again. Every day you get up in life, you actually get up and you step on your battlefield. Now, it's something about your battlefield. It don't mean you're going to fight every day, but you're stepping on the battlefield of life. All right, when you get up in the morning, Satan has already tried to wage war in your mind through the wee hours of the night, but God kept you. How many know God kept you in the late hours of the night? God kept you from losing your mind. God kept the angels around about you. Now, when the enemy was trying to come in and pierce your heart with negative thoughts while you were sleeping, God kept you while you were sleeping. Amen. Come on, I got a witness today. It was God that kept you. So when you woke up, God allowed you to wake up in your right mind. God allowed you to wake up and be able to say, God, I thank you. God, I love you. God said, you know what? I'm going to allow you to wake up and use your feet today. Come on, someone. I'm going to allow you to wake up and use your hands today. I'm going to allow you to wake up and use your voice today. And so in that night, you don't understand what was going on over your life before you got up this morning. I'm going to say it again. I hope someone's listening loud and clear. You don't understand what kind of war Satan fought to kill you last night, but he lost. You don't understand what kind of stuff he tried to throw at your mind to get you to give up last night. You don't understand that there was a great war that was going on, that Michael had to step forth and take care of some business for you in the heavenly places, that God dispatched legions of angels to stand in the gap for you so that when you woke up this morning, you were in your right mind, and that the devil didn't take your sons or your daughters. He didn't steal your joy or you wake up today and tell him, I'm awake today and I'm alive because God kept me at night. And then when I woke up with a praise on the inside. That's why when you get up, you're on the battlefield of life. And I declare that I'm not getting up to fight. I'm getting up to praise today. I'm not getting up to war against the devil. I'm getting up to let the devil know I've got joy and peace on the inside. So I didn't sleep last night to get up disgruntled and mad. I slept last night to rise up and say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. So that's what I'm talking about today, that when you wake up on the battlefield. That's why it's important that you succeed in life. Nobody wants to hang around a failure. Nobody wants to hang around a has-been. Somebody that's wishing to become something but is doing nothing to do it to get there. And so that's why I'm preaching to you today about succeeding in this life on the battlefield. And I want to share some things with you before we go in today, because God was dealing with me. And when you woke up this morning, God said you woke up as somebody's solution this morning. God does not create no problems, but you woke up to be someone's solution this morning. And so I want to encourage you today that you are alive because somebody needs what you have to say today. Someone needs to hear and see it. I know this here and I don't understand everything, but I know I'm needed somewhere today. May not be everywhere, but I know I'm needed for somebody today. May not be everybody, but somebody needs the same thing with you. When you wake up, somebody needs you somewhere. Not everywhere, but say this with me. Somebody needs me somewhere. That's where warfare is about, being transformed in your mind and waking up every day to renewed thoughts. And so God said, I want to release out of you solutions in the earth. Okay, say that with me. I'm a solution in the earth. But here's a more deeper part I want to share with you today, is that you've got to grow your faith. You've got to grow your faith. See, the word actually grows your faith. You must have faith in God. And the more words you get, the more your faith grows. And so the more you grow, you realize that I'm actually somebody's reward. I'm going to say that again. You are actually someone's reward. Jesus said, I am your exceeding great reward. Well, if Jesus is in me, then I am actually someone's reward today. I don't know what hell you fought through, but I represent your reward today. I don't know what battles you fought on this week, but you're looking at your reward today. You got reward for all of your labor, reward for your toil, reward for your pain, reward for your pride. You are somebody's reward. It's one thing I've learned about being a reward for someone. God rewards those who diligently seek him. And so I can't be your reward in your potential failure or your potential sin. I can't be a reward. I can't reward sin with reward. I'm going to say that again. If I'm your reward, I want to be the reward for your labor in God. I don't want to be a reward when you did wrong. See, that sometimes parents, you can do that with your sons and daughter. One parent says no, but the other parent says, yeah, I can't reward you failing in class. I can't reward you failing in the week. I can't reward you giving up on the great hope that Christ is in you. So you got to know that if I'm your reward comes because you did something with your life. And so you got to tell yourself today that I am a winner. Come on, tell yourself like you mean it. Some of you need to talk to yourself more often. Too other many people are talking to you. You need to learn how to talk to yourself. Don't let everybody tell you who you are. Know who you are for yourself. And so you know that you win in Jesus, because Jesus has given you the power, right? I started off this thing 4 weeks ago talking about knowing Jesus the Christ. Getting the revelation and get the revelation and then release the power of God inside of you. And so today I want to prepare you for the battlefield. And again, the battlefield is life, but it doesn't mean you're going to fight every day. And how does God prepare us for the battlefield? Well, he gives Paul some words in Romans chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. And I know we go through these, and the Lord has showed me this in a whole different realm today. And I'm glad and happy to share it with you. But it's 7 things that God rewards us with every day to secure our victory. You guys want to know what they are? The first one is salvation. All right, I'm going to give you 7 things, and we're going in today. Salvation, righteousness, faith, peace, prayer, the word of God, and truth. You say, can you repeat those? Yes, I will. Salvation, righteousness, faith, peace, prayer, word of God, and truth. Do you understand that this was the spiritual armor that Paul was talking about? But what really is being said here is that when you prepare to wake up and go on the battlefield of your life, you got to make sure that you are secure in all 7 of these areas. You got to make sure that you are stable, that your mind is right, that you are alert in all these areas. And when you look at the natural armor that Paul was talking about, and so it's something unusual about this, because Paul got more revelation chained up than he did free. And so we feel like because I'm going through and bound, God, you can't do nothing. But actually, Paul wrote the majority of his epistles in prison. And he was writing this epistle while he was chained up to a Roman soldier. Why is it that they had to chain him up? Because Paul's God was so bad that he knew that if Paul, and I got a word coming for you today, and I'm going to just give it to you right now. And will your praise cause an earthquake? They knew we had to chain them up, that even the chains couldn't hold them, that when Paul and Silas prayed and praised God at midnight, their prayer and praise broke chains and opened doors. And so they thought that if we chain you up against a Roman soldier, we could hold you down. It wasn't the Roman soldier that held God down. It was God's spirit that said, while you are chained up, I'm going to impart unto you some revelation that's going to bless the church thousands of years later. And so Paul knew that the chains weren't really holding him down. It was the Holy Spirit said, I'm talking to you right now. And so Paul is writing these things, and I can imagine him writing these things while he's chained to a Roman soldier. And this Roman soldier is dressed in all this armor. And God told Paul, there's your revelation. And what's unique about the armor is that I told you on last week that you can't be a weakling wearing that armor. That armor itself weighed probably over 120, 140, 50 pounds per man. And so it tells me that you can't be weak and carry the anointing of God. And so Paul begins to talk about salvation and righteousness and faith and peace. And I don't know about you, but all these things you actually have to be secure in every day. Seven things you got to be secure in your life in. Seven things. It's not just about putting it on. You got to be secure in what you put on. Let me say that again. When you dress in the morning, I don't have to come back because I didn't dress properly. Because I got everything I need for that day. So if it rains, I got an umbrella. If it gets chilly, I got an extra coat. If it snows, I got the right shoes in the trunk. Come on, am I talking to someone today? And so whatever happens, I am prepared for the battle at hand. Now, I'm not going out expecting a battle, but if in chance Satan tries to rise up, wrong car, buddy. Oh, I'm going to say it again. You need to say the wrong car, wrong house, wrong marriage, wrong kids, wrong job. Because he's checking to see if you know what you got in your car today. He's checking to see, did you check your mirror before you left the house today? Did you look and make sure that your gloves were on? Did you make sure that everything you needed was on today? If not, he's looking for you. But you need to tell him, not my house, not my job, not my body, not my children, not my church, not my marriage, not my city, not my neighborhood, not my state, not my nation. Your destination is hell. So I'm just pointing you where you're going. Amen, someone. See, you got to get bold with the enemy. And so, but you can't do that if you're not secure in those seven things that Paul talks about. And so I'm going to bless and dress you up today real well. Is that all right? I'm going to do a few minutes, okay? I'm not going to go long today because I believe that one thing that you're going to put on is going to be so much. You're going to go, good God Almighty, how did I ever leave home without it? And it's not American Express. It's Heaven Express. You didn't hear what I said today. I said Heaven Express today. Heaven Express is saying, go ahead and charge me today. Go ahead and use my name today. Use my, man. Number one, salvation. Paul talks about salvation, if you will, if you put up. And I'm not going to go in the order which Paul writes it because the Holy Spirit showed me something in the order which I'm going to give it. And you're going to see later. But he talks about the helmet of salvation. The word salvation. Say with me, salvation. Salvation. All right. In the Bible, Paul says he calls this put on the helmet of salvation. And so salvation is that Greek word called soterios. And that word simply means to be delivered or being delivered or having a sound mind. So I want you to repeat after me today and say, I have a sound mind. No, say it like you really did. Say, I have a sound mind. Okay, and there's something about a sound mind because where we get the word sozo from is from sound mind. And sozo, and you look at the word soterio, is about deliverance. And so when you look at the word sozo, you're looking at not just deliverance, but you're also being set free from all potential past and future accusations that the enemy could try to set against you. How many know that you could be free, but there could be somebody to talk about you a year later? It don't mean that you're not free. I was free when God set me free. So a year down the road, if you find something negative to try to accuse me of, I'm going to reach back on my deliverance that where I was delivered last year and say, you know what? That is nothing but a bold-faced lie. Now, what does it mean when the enemy makes accusations at you? He's trying to test you to see if you know who you really are. Are you going to believe his lies? And so when you look at the word salvation, the first thing you got to secure when you go out, is my salvation secure in God today? Am I secure in my freedom of my mind? You with me so far? And so when you are saved or when that salvation becomes a part of your daily armor, you put it on, the devil cannot play with your mind anymore. You declare, I have the mind of Christ, and you're not just quoting a scripture. I'm tired of the church just quoting scriptures, but there's no power behind the scripture. If I'm going to quote something, I'm going to live something, I'm going to become something, and I'm going to do something. So I declare I have the mind of Christ, and Satan, you can't play with my mind no more. I'm going to say it in ways that you don't understand. You possess the mind of God, and Satan's tricks no longer work in your mind. There are those little deceptive thoughts. There's those little things he tried to bring back at you, through you, or about you that people want to believe. I don't care if people believe a lie. As long as you know Jesus, Jesus said, I'm the way, truth, and the life. So you can believe the lie, but I'm going to believe that my mind is secure and complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Matter of fact, I rise up and I cast down all imaginations and all those things that exalt itself against the mind of God. I bring it under obedience right now. So everything that comes back, what? I don't receive it. I have the mind of Christ. I don't got the mind of the world. I have the mind of Christ. And so when you have the mind of Christ, you telling every day when I wake up, I'm saved, I'm delivered, I'm free, I feel good, I'm going to preach good, I'm going to live good, I'm going to talk good. I wake up in my mind every day, my marriage is blessed, our home is blessed, the church is blessed. Every day I leave, I bless everything that I am and about. So to secure, I am complete in him. It's in the mind, it's salvation. It's having that readiness to say, I have been rescued by the blood of Jesus and I'm no longer under the control of the enemy, all right? And so when you look at these Roman soldiers, they wore these helmets and the helmets that actually protected their head, obviously, right? Because your head represents your mind. And so these Roman soldiers, they wore these helmets, and these helmets were made of such thick metal that a battle axe couldn't crack through it. I'm talking to someone today. I mean, there'll be Satan to come at you with mind games like a battle axe, but he still can't crack through that helmet. And so they wore these helmets, and a lot like the football players do now, they got these padding on the inside. So if something were to hit it, the padding would keep their jaws and their teeth from breaking out. The helmet went on and it covered their head, their jaw, and their cheeks. So wherever the enemy would try to hit them in their head, it couldn't break through that armor. Are you with me so far? And so I want to talk about this helmet just for a minute here, because Satan wants to try to penetrate your mind. And the reason why Paul calls it the helmet of salvation is because they wear this helmet, and he knew that in war that the enemy would go after that head and take anything to try to crack his skull. But what happens if he can't get through the helmet? What happens? Well, I'm going to share some things with you here in a moment here, but I want to share with you how this helmet looked, and I'm going to bless you up real good. Can I just give you this for a moment here? It was made of heavy bronze, but here's what it looked like. It was very beautiful. It was bold. It was very brilliant. You ever heard the word bodacious before? It was eye-catching. Oh, I'm coming somewhere today. He wore a helmet that was eye-catching. He wore a helmet that was brilliant and shine, that was bodacious. And it had even like feathers sticking up out of you. Ever seen those Roman soldiers? The feathers or horse hair sticking up out of those helmets. In other words, I'm coming and I want you to see me coming. See, there's a difference when you don't want them to see you coming. It's like you're ashamed, or you're hiding something, or you're trying to sneak around. But I'm talking to someone today. When you have a renewed mind, I don't need to hide. Say, I want you to see me coming today. I want you to see the brilliance, the bodacious, the eye-catching beauty of a transformed mind. So I'm not trying to hide undercover. I'm getting up today with my helmet on, and I'm going to shine an extra sign today just so you can see me coming. This is good for me, because when you wear your deliverance, God was showing this with me, and I got excited. You wear your deliverance with pride. Not arrogance. I'm talking about pride in God. When I wear my helmet of salvation, I am letting Satan know, you don't have my mind. Here it is, Satan. Here's my mind. Here's the brilliance of God. Here's the bodacious looking of God. I want to catch your eye, Satan, because you can't touch this. Yeah, I'm talking truth today. They wore that helmet because they wanted the enemy to know, you can see us coming and you still can't do nothing about it. You wear your helmet, your salvation every day, and the enemy see you coming and he still can't do nothing about it. He see you one way, but when you get there, he can't do nothing about it. Why? Because you have a transformed mind. When you wake up every day and you go on your job and you go out into the marketplace, you're going out there with a transformed mind. I want people to see the God in me every day. I want people to see what freedom looks like. I want people to see what joy looks like. I want people to see what happiness looks like. I want people to see the mind of Christ. What it really, see, the mind of Christ is not just shaking and quaking. The mind of Christ said, I am beautifully made and I'm fearfully. I am an anointed man of God. I'm a vessel of God. I want you to see what really freedom looks like today. I feel that. I'm not hiding who I am. I've been redeemed by God. I've been transformed and daily being transformed. So why should I hide and play dumb just to try to fit in with the world? Why should I become like them in order to be like them? I'm different. My mind is different. And so you're actually going to catch the eye of people when your mind is right. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. See, when you are confused and messed up in your mind, people whisper about you. But when your mind gets transformed, they're whispering about you now to be like you. When you have the helmet of salvation on, again, salvation, the word of deliverance, having the mind of Christ, being set free from all accusations and all assaults against the enemy, whatever he throws at you every day, it's like you could throw it at me. I want you to see me coming today. I've hid long enough. So look at me, Satan. Look at my mind. Look at my eyes. Does this look like a man that's intimidated or scared of you? Are you hearing me today? See, sometimes when you look at people, they look the other way. No, Satan, I'm looking right at you today. I want you to see me today. I want you to see me coming today. And I'm going to walk right over your head. I'm going to trample right over your head. I'm going right through your camp, and you can't stop me. You know how kids do that when they're growing up. Nan, nan, and boo-boo, you can't get me. You can't stop me. You can't do that. I'm telling Satan, you can't do nothing with me today. See my mind renewed today. See how I talk today. It's different than it was before, isn't it? And you can't do nothing about it, can you? But then Paul talks about another piece of armor. It's called righteousness. What am I saying today? You can't leave home if your salvation is not secure. If you don't know who you are, you're not ready for your day. Because someone's going to define you by what they think you are. But I don't go by the definitions of the world. Come on, someone. I don't go by the definitions of what even Webster's Dictionary says or the Oxford Annotated. I don't go by those definitions because my definition is really in heaven. God created me. And if the world don't understand, that's too bad for the world. The world, you'll get it if you get Jesus. But if you don't get Jesus, then you just got the wrong definition of me. So I leave every day knowing in my mind who I am and whose I am. But then I also say I've got a righteousness now. And Paul calls this the breastplate of righteousness. Say with me, the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I want to talk about breastplate of righteousness. It just simply means being right. Tell yourself, I'm right in God. Now, here's what I want to sow into you today. It don't matter if man disapproves you or approves you or not. I'm going to say it again for someone that needs to hear this. It doesn't matter if man approves you or disapproves you or not. God actually has already approved you. Before you got up in the morning, God approved you. Come on, yeah, before you got to that job, you were already approved. Before you signed the papers, you were already approved. You telling me I'm pre-approved? No, man, ain't no, I don't believe in no pre. I've been approved before you was born. Before you even sat on this job, I was approved. So I'm just coming to you as a mere formality for you to just manifest what God has already done in my life. And so I tell the devil, condemnation is no longer a part of me. You can't condemn me of my past. Come on, someone, when you've been made right, your past does not predicate your future. What you did yesterday has no bearing on your next week because God said there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Come on, someone, the Spirit breathes life, but condemnation breathes to death. And so I'm not walking in a death sentence. I'm walking under a life sentence. When you've been made right, condemnation says, "There, what is condemnation? What can you condemn me for? God doesn't even see what I did 10 years ago. God doesn't even see what I did last night. God's, oh man, I need to talk to someone today. See, you might disapprove of how I look or what I am, but God approved me. got something for you today. I'm trying to be calm, but I got something for you today. As long as I stay here, I'm good. But I'm telling you, it's getting ready to explode. But I'm telling you right now, there is no condemnation in your life. God said through Paul that you have a breastplate of righteousness. God said, I've made you right. Do you understand what I just said? I made you right. When you are created, you are not created wrong. There was no flaw in your character. There was no flaw in you. I created you after my image and after my likeness. And when you receive Jesus into your life now, you actually look the closest thing to me. Someone call you a dog, tell them you must be talking to someone else because I look like God. You don't know what I'm talking about today because you've used all these words to call people after who they are not. We've all done that here. But when someone says that you are right, that's telling you that you got the right answer. It's correct. No matter what others say, you are still right. 1 + 1 equals what? You're right. Can I change that? You're laughing at me, but I'm giving you a spiritual principle. Can I change? Can I make you think differently than 1 + 1 equals what? You plus God equals victory. I can't change that. The devil can't change that. People can't change that. Situations can't change that. Circumstances can't change that. Lack of money can't change that. Even sickness can. None of that can change. You plus God equals victory every single time. So when the devil makes you feel like you're condemned and you're wrong, tell him, no, me plus God equals victory. Not just one time, but every time. For the rest of my life, I'm actually walking in victory. So what is it about this righteousness here? Man, put Isaiah 61 and 10 on the screen for me, because I'm going to have some fun with this for a minute here. You know, I just got this a matter of fact in my spirit today. Can I do it a matter of fact for you real quick? As a matter of fact, I'm dressed in salvation and righteousness. I'm going to read what the Bible says. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. Come on, someone. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. How does it look? It looks like a bridegroom that decketh himself with ornaments. How else does it look? It looks like a bride who adorneth herself with her jewels. In other words, I'm dressed to, man, oh, you're going to laugh at me, but just laugh all you want. I'm dressed in bling bling. Everywhere you go, you are blinging. Do you understand when the Bible says that you have garments of salvation, that it's like a bride with ornaments and it's like a groom with precious jewels? God set you up to bling to the world. Man, I'm going to be honest with you today. He set you up so the world would see you. He made you look like you look for God so the world would take note of his brilliance. He would take note of his audacious power. You are not supposed to look like a raggedy, broken down Christian. He said, I dressed you in salvation. I put a robe of righteousness on you that I don't declare whatever anyone else says. You are right in my eyes. And because you are right in the eyes of God, you cause people to put on sunglasses when you show up in the room. Because the brilliance of God says, man, I'm going to make you shine like Moses shined when he came down the Mount Sinai. I'm going to make people just have to shut their eyes because they can't stand to see you blessed. They can't stand to see you anointed. They can't stand to see you in your right mind anymore. It messes them up because you bling when you're supposed to be crying. Yeah, that's God said, I'm going to mess your enemies up. When you show up, they're going to either get right or they're going to put glasses on because they can't stand to see you smile no more. They can't stand to see you have joy. They can't stand to see you bling. They was used to you having nothing. Now you're bling bling. Come on, someone. They was used to you walking around begging and asking. Now you're showing up with decked down with jewels and pearls and ornaments called salvation and righteousness. Isn't that something? God said, I dressed you to bling. I dressed you to look like me. I didn't dress you to look like them. I didn't dress you to just succumb to what they say. I dressed you in a delivered mind. That's why it was so beautiful when Paul was talking about the helmet of salvation, that the helmet worn made the enemy see the soldier coming. The breastplate, it was beautiful. It was brilliant. It was the most shining piece of equipment. And it showed up and it magnified even greater the brilliance of God. Because when you thought I was wrong, bam. Let me make you laugh again. Some of you even got bling on your teeth. Come on, you open up your mouth and it's like bling. Like, man, I got to put shades on because your teeth are even dressed and brightened and shine. And I know it might be some things you put on there, but it's symbolically saying that every time I smile, I bling. Every time I open up and I say something good, I bling. Bling, bling, bling. I want you to see the bling of God. See, this is what happens when the enemy tries to expose you. God said, no, no, I covered my son with the robe of righteousness. When the enemy tries to come in and pull off the covers and make you look bad, he said, no, I closed my door with garments of salvation. And so they're going to bling regardless of what kind of mud you try to accuse them with. They're still going to bling. Regardless of what kind of junk that you try to bring up from their past, they're still going to bling. No matter what kind of condemnation tricks you play on their mind, they're still going to bling. I don't care what you try to bring back up from 20 years ago, I'm still blinging. What you try to accuse me of, I'm still blinging. Why? I've got righteousness of a robe on now, and I've got salvation as a garment now. I didn't get dressed with your clothes. I got dressed with God's clothes. Are you crazy enough to leave the house without salvation and righteousness? Come on, someone. You want the bling for God. You want God to expose you. So let me tell you about this breastplate, man. This is good. The Roman soldier, they wore this blessed breastplate. And here I told you that it was like the most beautifulest piece of armor that it had, and it shined so much. And a matter of fact, it was so big, you didn't understand this. It went from the neck all the way down to the knees. There's this breastplate on. It covered their front and it covered their back. And God said, when I make you right, I cover all of you. Even when the enemy tries to sneak upon your back, I still got your back covered. Do you hear what I said, church? That breastplate covered the chest all the way down to the knees from the neck, and it covered the back all the way down the neck to the back of the knee. In other words, when the enemy wants to come in with a surprise attack in your life and he thought he was going to knock you down, no, he hit a piece of armor called right. Even when he hit you, you were still right. Can you get that in your spirit today? Even when he struck at you, you might have failed. The righteous fall many times, but God lifts them back up. They fall seven. I mean, they can fall over. And even when you fall, you're still right. You didn't get what I said today. See, sometimes it goes, I'm above. Yeah, no, you're going to make a mistake. You're going to fall. But even when you fall, God said, I still covered you with a robe of righteousness. You are still right in my eyes. So get back up, show your bling again, and tell the devil, nice try, but it didn't work and it's never going to work again, because Jesus has made me right. He's clothed me with a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and I've got that robe of righteousness that declares a surprise attack still does not make me wrong. You looking at me cross-eyed, but you will get an attack one day, and the devil's not going to announce it. He's going to try to surprise you. He's going to take a jab at you. He's going to take a swing at you. He's going to herald something at you. But as long as you got your armor on, you might feel it. Boop. Still right. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. See, a couple weeks ago, I was watching Rocky face Clubber. And Mr. T kept just pounding him. And it's like, boom, the more he hit, all of a sudden you heard that music going, doom. And the more he hit Rocky, the more he said, come on, come on with it. Because I might have failed, but I got back up. And now it's my time to whoop your butt. How many ever felt like that before? He's taking blows. He's taking blows. And you're like, bam. And you go, oh, man, I'm getting back up. Bam, I'm getting back up. Here comes another. Bam, I'm getting back up. Ding, ding, ding. It's time for me now. And instead of putting knees up, I just put my breastplate on and my helmet on, and I said, bling, bling. You don't hear what I just said. I said, bling, bling. Even when he tries to throw all the accusations, you're still shining. Now, I want to share something else with you here. This is good stuff here. So the most important organ of your body was covered by this piece of armor. Someone shout, my heart. I'm finna bless someone real quick. This is why God wants you to have that righteous robe on to show that your heart has been healed. People walk around with broken hearts all the time. And it felt like I'm broken. I can't get right. Now God said, get this robe of righteousness on and stick your chest out and said, my heart has been healed. I might have been bitter. I might have been bruised. I might have been battered. I might have been messed up and left. But I have a healed heart right now. And devil, you cannot do nothing with a healed heart. See, one of the biggest tricks is the enemy gets to your heart. And when your heart's been broken and you hold bitterness in your heart, or you hold unforgiveness in your heart, or you hold things in your heart that are not of God, he's got you. But when you rise up with the breastplate of righteousness, here's how you walk. As long as your heart is broken, you hide your heart. You got to be honest with me today. You conceal your heart. You try to have a smile, but really you're hiding the brokenness of your heart. But when God gives you the breastplate of righteousness, you don't hide your heart anymore. Oh, yes, I'm talking to someone today. You're not afraid of your heart being broken again. You're not worried about, well, is this the right one? Well, no, I've got a breastplate on now, and you can't break my heart if you try. You can't. And so when your heart has been broken and you haven't been really saved or delivered in your mind and your heart, here's what you do. I don't know if I could trust anyone again. I love you, but I really am not sure if I can expose everything because I'm afraid I might get hurt. But when you leave your house with your robe of righteousness on, you say, you know what? I'm not afraid to get hurt. When the enemy finds out that you're not afraid to get hurt, you've just opened yourself up to relationships that he tried not to have you have. I'm going to say it again. Many of you are desiring relationships, but you can't get them because you're covering your heart. But when you get your heart healed and you walk out every day with your chest out with a renewed heart, then you now open yourself up and invite the right relationships in. If you're looking for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, get your heart healed and walk out there with a healed heart instead of a broken heart. Don't walk out there and say, I've got to guard my heart. I can't let nobody in my heart. When you do that, you don't even let God in. But when you have on the breastplate of righteousness, you say, my heart shines. Yeah, it was hurt and it was broken. But look at it now. Gorilla glue didn't fix it. Crazy glue didn't fix it. Super glue didn't fix it. It was Jesus' love that fixed my heart. It was that love that went beyond my faults. It was that love that went beyond my mistakes, my problems, my everything. My love, the love of God went beyond that, and it healed this broken heart. Go to Psalm 37 and 6 before, because I got to move on to something different here real quick here. Psalm 37 and 6. Put that on the screen here. I'm going to show you here. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. What am I saying to you? When your heart is healed, you shine like the noonday. When you show up, it's like noon. Wouldn't you love to live every day noon? The sun is at its highest peak, shining down at that noontime hour. And so I decide to live every day, 24 hours a day, noon. Shining like the noonday. And so here's what God says through the psalmist. He said, your righteousness is going to break forth. When your heart gets healed. When you now are walking from a position of a delivered heart, your righteousness now says, I shine. So tell your neighbor, I shine. Now, the last thing for today. Paul talked about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. So in other words, he says, if you leave your house every day, make sure your salvation is intact. No one's saying you're not saved. We're talking about saying that I am free from all accusation. My mind is right. But then I'm also right in my heart. And then now he says, you got a shield of faith. How many more minutes I got? Don't point at me like take my time, because that's loaded. Paul calls this weapon a shield of faith. Let me give you my definition of faith. Faith is an absolute belief that God has already accomplished what you can't see. It's an absolute belief that God has already accomplished what you cannot even see. Did you hear what I said today? Faith already sees it as accomplished, even though I don't see it. I got it, even though it's not in my garage. I got it, even though it hadn't hit my account yet. God help me today. I got it, even though my wallet disagrees with me. I got it, even though my mind is trying to show me something different. Faith says it's an absolute done deal. What you cannot even see is already accomplished. And so it doesn't matter about your physical senses or what your mind says or your natural says. What matters is simply that you are the righteousness of God. And so when God says, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith in the earth? He's looking for someone that just believed him all the way. And so I want to ask you today, do you believe God all the way? Because I cannot continue if you don't believe God all the way. I will stop right now and I will lay hands on you and pray a prayer of faith over your life. I need to know that this church, Faith Walk Harvest Center, those here, do you believe God all the way? I think you, if you believe God, you need to do a bit better than that. Do you believe God all the way? See, there you go. What faith says, I'm not asking your natural body to agree with me. I'm not asking your circumstances to agree with me. What does your heart say? Did you really believe that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all he asks or think? Do you believe that I can heal your body right now? Do you believe that I can cancel your debt right now? Do you believe that I can do anything for you right now? I'm not asking if your body agrees with me. I'm not even asking if your mind agrees with me. Faith says it's already done. I don't need agreement from your flesh to tell me what God has already given me. You can't look at your physical senses and determine whether I'm going to agree or not. You just diluted your faith when you said, let me check. Can you, will you give me, let me check my account. I don't need to check my account. You didn't hear what I said. See, some of you right now, if I say, all right, I need everyone to give me $1,000, give me $1,000,000, let me check my account. You shouldn't have to check your account if you got faith. Now I'm speaking and calling things that be not as though they were. So if you just sat down because you thought you couldn't do it, then you just doubted God. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been in places where money showed up at the exact time when I showed up. I'm just trying to sell you something today. See, I didn't have it going in there, but God said, go in there. And when I got there, God said, I just needed your faith. The money was with God. Help me today. You just need to sometimes show up with God on your side and stop wondering, is it going to happen or not? Get to the place God wants you to be, and God is going to manifest right there what he said, I promise you have. Tell your neighbor, show up. I'm telling you, I'm the honest truth. I just had all, my hardest job was just to show up and get to where God said be. I didn't come in there like, well, I really don't have it. I can't afford it. I can't do it. I don't know if this is something that God really said. No, I know God said it. God promised it to me. God doubly confirmed it. And so I'm here. And as the moment I got there, there was what I needed right there. See, if you're wondering, God is waiting for you to show up. You all right today? Are you sure? So let's talk about the shield of faith then. Oh my God. Do you know what a shield does? It comes against all those darts that are fired against you. And see what the enemy does in warfare, and I'm showing you, when you leave your house, you got to have faith when you leave your house. What he does is he's not just shooting arrows alone. He's shooting arrows with fire. In other words, he's trying to light you up and burn you up. So when he shoots an arrow, it's a flame of fire that's meant to explode when it hits you. But there's something about the Roman soldier that when they had their shield of faith, that they did not go out on the battlefield and without dipping that shield thoroughly in water. It's the water of the word, which is the Holy Spirit in Jesus, that when those fiery darts come, they are quenched every time. See, what extinguishes fire? Thank you. Say that louder. And so when your shield rises up with water, the water of the word, every arrow that's been assigned immediately is quenched. Let me tell you something here, because I got something for you real quick. The Roman soldier, say the Roman soldier. He carried the shield. And there's something about the shield that it wasn't a little bitty shield. The shield could be the size almost of a door. I'm going to say it again. The shield was like a size of a door. And those shields would shine. And again, you got shield. Imagine you had a row of soldiers lined up with their shield and they're coming at you. And the gates of hell should not prevail. The door now is coming at you now. And so when it came at you, all they seen, especially when the sun would shine on a row of all shields, that all you saw was the sun penetrating a metal shining piece of armor, it blinded the enemy. Your faith will blind the enemy. I'm going to say it again. Your faith is designed to blind the enemy. See, he can't see. See, faith is something you can't see, can you? And so here the enemy can't see when you come in. So here, watch this here. They carried this piece of metal, and it was like a door, shaped like a door. And they came in and they carried it. And so let me show you this here. You are actually carrying the door to your next. You didn't hear what I said today. You are carrying the door to your next. All you got to do is open up your own door. Well, God, I need you to open up a door for me. No. I've given you power to open that door up. You carry the shield of faith, and that shield of faith is actually like a door. So when the soldiers came at you with their shields here, it's like they're coming at one door. Jesus said, I'm the door. And so here, when I look at the word faith, I see people believe in God beyond what you could see or what you could think here. And so here's what happens when the devil comes at you. He starts throwing this stuff at you, but it's like hitting a door. Now, I've seen many of you. Some of you, when you knock on your door, you don't answer. So it tells me you don't have to answer every time Satan knocks. I know that's right. Oh, you got a little piece up there. Good for you. That's all right. Amen. Thank you for finding that. But look what they led with. They led with faith. You could see my mind come in my helmet, but I led with faith. You know I'm right, but you can't see my heart, but I'm leading with faith. My mind is right, but faith is going before me. And so how do you go at or through a door? Tell your neighbor you got to walk. So God said, I gave you some shoes. And those shoes were designed for you to walk on anything. How many believe today that you could walk on anything? Paul called this weapon shoes of the gospel of peace. Peace is complete wholeness of your mind and your body. Peace is the wholeness of God. I want you to stand with me right where you are, because I'm stopping right there. And I want you to meditate the rest of this week on peace. And I'm coming back next week to show you what peace would do for you. But I'm really more concerned about the helmets of salvation today. I'm concerned about the mind and the heart that know they're right, and then having faith in God to stand on what's right and not what's been said is wrong. And so what I feel today is that you have to have a made up mind. And I believe today that God wants you to have a made up mind that you're going to believe him. That when you get up, you're getting up with a mind that says it is free and it's cleansed, it's delivered, it's totally purged and pure. I have no negative thoughts. I have no, you know, regrets of anything. God, my mind is perfectly at peace and I feel as though, God, I know I'm right in you. Therefore, you got to walk in faith now. So I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. I just want to pray. And I want to ask someone today that if your heart has been in a position of brokenness, unhealthiness or unwholeness, incompleteness, I want you to reflect right now. If that's you I'm talking to. If you're even in your mind, you've been convinced that it's not going to work out, it's no use. Or you're battling the war of your mind, I'm talking to you. And I want to let you know today that Paul was really clear when he was in prison, chained to a soldier. He says, you've got a helmet of salvation. You've got a mind that's been freed by the blood of Jesus. And you've got a heart that's been made right by God. And so I just need to talk to your faith right now and encourage your faith that you got to believe what God says you are. And so if that's you, that person, I want you to slip your hand up where you are. Just keep it up where you are, where every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I want you to just lift your hand up if that's you with that heart and that mind. The heart that needs to be made right. The mind that needs to be renewed. I need you to lift your hand up. I need you to be honest before the Lord today because I'm going to be sure that when you wake up on the battlefield of life tomorrow morning, that you wake up with a secured mind and a heart that's right with Jesus. And if you really believe today that this could be your day of a total heart transformation, a total mind regulation. Do you believe today that I am going to get through this and I am the righteousness of God and I have faith today to believe it and we're going to get you on your way next week starting with your feet, but I got to get your mind right now convinced that God loves you. Get your heart right with God that God cares about you. You don't have to carry the pain or the hurt or the problem. You can give it to Jesus. So if that's you right now and you lifted up your hand, I want you to meet me at this altar right in front of me. Only if you lifted up your hand. If you didn't lift up your hand, stay at your seat. If you lifted your hand, you come to the altar.